This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Then we come to تِلْكَ آيَاتُ الْكِتَابِ الْمُبِينِ إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. We're going to take some time here. It's going to be a bit slow. But I want you to get a feel of what you read in some of the books of tafsir before we dive into what we promise to be the greater part of this course, and that is, I still can't hear you. The camera can't hear you. Tadabbur al-Qur'an. Tadabbur al-Qur'an. Tadabbur al-Qur'an. Now, so we will sort of take time with this ayat, but this is to give you the feel. So at least you have some experience of what exists in the Arabic text. And then inshallah, the greater part will be tadabbur and will flow much quicker. So please concentrate and keep yourself energized. And inshallah, there'll be mass benefit bidhillahi ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after alif lam ra, says, tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin. Do we have the ayah or the translation on board? Yes, we do. Tayyib. Verily, we have sent it down as an Arabic Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, tilka. Let's ponder over this word tilka. Tilka is from asma al-ishara, for those who study the Arabic language. And in the English language, we call asma al-ishara what? A demonstrative noun. A demonstrative noun. So in the Arabic language, we say hadha, hadhihi, ha'ula, ula'ik, tilka, thalika. These are all pointing nouns. They are demonstrative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to his ayat as tilka, because this is the feminine form and ayat is feminine. That's fine. But the question is, why did Allah say tilka and not hadhihi? Tilka in the Arabic language refers to something far away. Hadhihi refers to something near. Are the ayat close to us or far away? We have them close. It's been revealed to you. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is close to you and he is relating to you the revelation. So this is where tadabbur comes in. Why did Allah say tilka and not hadhihi? This is tadabbur. And the scholars say, rahmatullahi alayhim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says tilka to teach us that this Quran has come from Allah al-Mahfuz, which is distant to you. It's been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not the statement of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's not they were saying these ayat are from him. No, it's from Allah al-Mahfuz. Not hadhihi, tilka. Subhanallah. You see how tadabbur now works? Did Allah tell us the Quran is from Allah al-Mahfuz? Did he tell us in clear words? No, but he still told us. How? By saying tilka. But what was the meaning locked behind tilka, which we've just unlocked now? That this Quran is from afar, from Allah al-Mahfuz. It was revealed from a lofty place, from an elevated place. It's not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you see how the Quraysh have been refuted in just one word, tilka? What do you think of this? Now what if I told you this is how it is with every word in the Quran? How many lives will you need to unlock these secrets if you sat with every word in the Quran? Someone says, how can you refute those who say the Quran is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We say using the word tilka. Say, but how can you use the word tilka? It's a demonstrative noun. Say yes. But Allah said tilka ayat. He didn't say hadhihi al-ayat. In Surah Baqarah, he said thalika al-kitab. He didn't say hadha al-kitab. This is a book in which there's no doubt. He said thalika. Thalika points to something again which is far away. When you ponder, you extrapolate and deduce this amazing lesson that this Quran is not from Muhammad, bal, instead it's been revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you've just refuted those who say it's from Muhammad in one word. Amazing. Right? Amazing. This is tadabbur. You think you're amazed now. Wait, we're coming. There's more to come, inshallah. There's more to come, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Who watched the sociology lesson from Surah Yusuf that's online? The sociology lesson from Surah Yusuf. The small clip that's on YouTube from one of my courses in the UK. How did you feel about that? That's tadabbur, but we'll get to that, inshallah. If you haven't watched it, don't go search for it today. I'll tell it to you tomorrow. Okay, don't search for it today. Tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Mubin. He describes the Quran as clear. Thus, Mubin is from the qualities of the Quran. We learn from this ayah that from the qualities of the Quran is that the Quran is clear. In other ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Tilka ayat al-kitab al-hakim. What does hakim mean? Wisdom, wise, not in this ayah. That's why I never ever talk about the Quran before going to the tafsir. And tadabbur comes after tafsir, by the way. There's no contradiction. Many people say, well, look, how can I practice tadabbur if we should never talk about the Quran with no knowledge? We say, you should never talk about the Quran with no knowledge. Yes. Understand the Quran based on knowledge. Yes. Based on the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes. But tadabbur is for you. Allah said, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. Did He not? So that they may ponder over its ayat. This is for you to do. But you can only ponder over the ayah when you understand the ayah. How do you understand the ayah? By going to the books of tafsir. The scholars say, hakim here doesn't mean wise. It means differentiator between truthfulness and falsehood. Min al-hakam. It's the referee. It differentiates between truthfulness and falsehood. So yes, the Quran is the furqan. It's the differentiator. And also the Quran has been referred to as furqan. So the Quran has many descriptions. From its descriptions is mubin. And where do we understand this description from? This ayah in Surah Yusuf. Tayyib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, Inna anzalnahu. We have revealed it to you. You see, Allah said, Tilka ayat. It's come from a high place, from a lofty place, not from a close place, from a far place. Then Allah says, Inna anzalnahu. We have revealed it. You see how this proves the tadabbur you understood from tilka? Allah says, we have revealed it. It's not from you, Muhammad. We have revealed it. Tayyib. Allah says, inna, which is, we translate as we. We translate as we. Now, does this mean a trinity? Wal-iyadu billah? No. No. Some of the disbelievers, they say, the concept of trinity is present in the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna, referring to we. This we refers to the Trinity. And this is incorrect. It doesn't refer to a Trinity. Rather, it refers to the royal we, which is a concept in the English language. The concept of the royal we. When the Queen of England speaks, what does she say? We. She's talking about herself. This is the royal we. And some people, that's how they talk. They are A-grade characters or A-type, type A characters, right? There you go. You see, when we do this, this is how we do it. But you mean when you do it? Tayyib. So this refers to the royal we. This is referred to the royal we. And this is a fatwa. This has been discussed by the scholars, by the Lajna Ad-Da'imah in Saudi Arabia, the senior scholars. And they have a fatwa about this, as is in their fourth volume, page 143, that the we here refers to the royal we and not the Trinity. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنزَلْنَاهُ. We have revealed it to you. And this explains that the Qur'an comes from a lofty, far place. And it also teaches us, أَنزَلْنَاهُ, the divine nature of the Qur'an, because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is making manifest the reality of this Qur'an before He discusses Surah Yusuf. And tie this to what we said was the reason of revelation. When they tried to test the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about him actually being a prophet, and test him whether he actually receives revelation. He actually receives revelation. So we see here Allah saying, Inna anzalnahu. We've established it's not from Muhammad. And we're telling you that we've revealed it. And that it's divine because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is divine. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispels their allegations. dispels their allegations. For sure, this Quran is not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the signs. There are other signs. Like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his book. Now which person says something from themselves and they scold themselves as they speak? Does it make sense? No. So these are also signs that the Quran is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a clear refutation of the Quraysh and a clear refutation of the Orientalists and the enemies of Islam who today strive to write batil and falsehood to try and shift the Muslims who are weak in knowledge and infiltrate their minds and plant doubts. So they start doubting things. They start doubting things. This is refutation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qur'anan Arabiyan. Qur'anan Arabiyan. Do we have one of those laser lights with us? That I can, not to point at your eyes. No, to point at the board. Like normally the children when they get these lights, they play with each other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Qur'anan Arabiyan. So Allah is further making clear the Qur'an. Further making clear the Qur'an. That listen, this Qur'an is not from Muhammad. This Qur'an is from far away. This Qur'an is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This Qur'an is divine. And listen further, it's an Arabic Qur'an. That we're speaking to you in your language. So understand. Just now, when I asked the question, and there were confusing answers, I said, should I tell you in Chinese? Maybe you speak Chinese, and I'm speaking English. Right? You're not understanding. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what is wrong with you? This is an Arabic Qur'an. This is in your language. أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا. What do you have doubt about? Why are you calling him a liar and a magician and doubting his message and attributing the message to him? Why? It's in your language. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَأْقِلُونَ. So that you can understand. When you live the ayah, you appreciate it more. It's amazing, isn't it? When you try and put yourself at the place when it was revealed. Right? So Allah says it's an Arabic Qur'an. And the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Qur'an an Arabic Qur'an, we have lessons that we can deduce from this. From them, number one, that a translation of the Qur'an is not called the Qur'an, but it's called a translation of the Qur'an. When you hand the translation of the Qur'an to somebody, don't say, I'm giving you the Qur'an. Make it clear you're giving him the translation of the Qur'an. But if the Qur'an is mentioned, and then the translation happens, explain to them that the Arabic is the Qur'an and the English is? Na'am. Because the Arabic is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and preserved. And the English is the work of man. That's why when people try to refute Islam based on their knowledge of translations, that's an academic flaw in and of itself. Because you have based your ideology off the work of man which is prone to error and mistake. Is this clear? This is the first point. Point number two, Quran and Arabiyan. What do we learn from this? That the Arabic tafsir of the Quran is not called Quran, but it's called the tafsir of the Quran. And the benefit of this is understanding that the laws of fiqh pertaining to the Quran, such as you being in a state of ablution when you touch the Quran, and such that you being in a state of ritual purity, when you recite the Qur'an, these apply to what? The Qur'an itself. Not an English translation of the Qur'an, and not the tafsir of the Qur'an. Have we differentiated? Allah said, Qur'anan Arabiyan. It's an Arabic Qur'an. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. And this is clear, or this point is substantiated in many places of the Qur'an, that it's an Arabic Qur'an, such as in Surah Ra'd, Ayah 37, Surah Taha, Ayah 113, Surah Zumar, Ayah 28, Surah Zukhruf, Ayah 3, Al-Ahqaf, Ayah 12. Many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Qur'an as an Arabic Qur'an. But there's a question that begs to be asked. And that is, are all the words in the Qur'an Arabic? This question begs to be asked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Qur'an, described it as an Arabic Qur'an. But are all the words in the Qur'an Arabic? And this is a point of discussion between the scholars of Usul al-Fiqh and the scholars of Al-Quran. So let's discuss this. There are three views about this. And before we discuss the views, let's discuss what all the scholars agree to first. Right? All the scholars agree that they are non-Arabic proper nouns in the Quran. Like Ibrahim, like Hud, like Nuh. These are not Arabic names. So they agree that yes, they are non-Arabic proper nouns in the Quran. Point number one. Point number two, they agree that there are no non-Arabic sentences in the Quran. There's not one ayah in its totality that is not Arabic. Is this clear? Kapish? Trying out different languages, Yani. Is this clear? Okay. They agree. There are no non-Arabic sentences in the Quran. And they agree that there are non-Arabic proper nouns in the Quran. But they disagree as to other words in the Quran. Meaning the non-proper nouns. Are there other words in the Quran which don't fall under the category of being a proper noun that are non-Arabic? So there is a statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu which talks about certain words being Syriac and certain words coming from other languages like the Habashi language and so on and so forth, such as Sundus, Istabraq, these words in the Quran, right? So this is where the debate is. That Ibn Abbas, he says that these words exist. So a group of scholars said, yes, they are non-Arabic words in the Quran. And a group of scholars said, no, they can't be because Allah said it's an Arabic Quran. And then comes the third view. And this is the preferred view. And this is the middle view. And that is that there are words that originally were not Arabic that exist in the Quran. But the Arabs adopted those words into the Arabic language and they were Arabicized and given Arabic letters and pronounced in the Arabic way and were considered the Arabic language before the Quran was revealed. And the Quran was revealed in the Arabic language that the Quraysh spoke, so these words were in the Quran. Is this clear? Originally, they were from other languages. But they were Arabicized. They became Arabic words. And were used by the Quraysh in their poetry, in their speech, in their tradings, in their dealings. Before the Quran was revealed. And when the Quran was revealed, these words were used. So this doesn't contradict the Quran being an Arabic Quran. Is this clear? Tayyib. When I ask, is this clear? I've understood. If there's silence, it means yes. I mashallah, as a teacher, I benefit this from, you travel to different countries. If you go to London, you say, is this clear? You'll hear a roar. You might fall off your chair. Because everybody answers, yes, mashallah. But if you come to Dubai now, we know. If you ask, is it clear? Everybody keeps quiet. So that means yes. I've understood, alhamdulillah, that this is the way of thinking here. Or this is the meaning of the word. This is what people understand when you say, is this clear? Is this clear?
Yes.
Oh, mashallah, you've changed now. Now you're confusing me. Tayyib. So they say that there's no contradiction. It is an Arabic Quran, and the Quran used these words because it was Arabicized before revelation. However, we can tackle this argument from a different angle. From a different angle. And we can say, Barakallahu feekum, that if I write an English article, and in that article I use one word or one sentence that's not English. For example, I write, c'est la vie. For example, which is French for, that's life, isn't it? So I write my article, and I have one word which says, c'est la vie. Will you call this article a French article? You will call it an English article still, not so? So even if these words were not considered Arabic, the mention in the Quran is minimal. Minimal. It doesn't change the fact that the Quran is an Arabic Quran. Is this clear? Is this clear, Sheikh? طيب. That Sheikh also agrees there. طيب. Okay. Let's move on. Let's move on. How are we finding it thus far? Are we following? Do we need a break? Yes? You need a break? You're not leaving here even if I give you a break. Who needs a break from the Quran? Really? Do you think you need a break from the Quran? You just... Uthman, radiallahu anhu, he would read and read and read and read and he would cry and people would think he's going to die from crying. Or he's going to make himself sick. And they used to say, enough. Not like this. Ya Uthman, you don't have to go to this extent. You've read enough. And he would say that if you really understood the Quran, you would forget this word called enough. It's never enough. And he would continue. And he would continue. And we know from the Salaf, those who would complete a mushaf a night, they would read Fajr with the wudu of Isha. And through the night, they complete the Quran. There's the stories of Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi alayhi, and Imam Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, of this practice being prevalent and present. There's some people who are walking in late. Those who came late, I say, Allahul Musta'an. Allahul Musta'an. The gold was distributed. And you missed your distribution. But inshallah, there is other gold that you will get, inshallah. But as they say, Al-Ghaib laysa lahu na'ib. The one who's absent doesn't have a representative. Khalas. Right? In the Arabic language, there's a saying, As-sayfu dayat al-laban. Meaning, khalas, yani, the sun has caused the milk to evaporate. You lost your chance. The milk was there. You should have come to drink it. If you didn't drink it, it's gone. You've lost your chance. I'm just saying this so tomorrow you're all here on time, inshallah. Inshallah. Tayyib. What were we saying? I was telling the brothers in the UK that thinking happens in something known as the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And the prefrontal cortex is a very small part of the brain. But that's the place where live thinking happens. And it can only take a few thoughts. If you add another thought, some one thought is going to fall off the stage. So now I was speaking about something else, everything else fell off. I need to try and bring them back on the stage and remember what I was telling you. But you can help me. What were we talking about? Before that. Ahsan. We're talking about Arabic names in the Quran. So is that clear? If I write an English article with one word that has a French word or a Spanish word in it, does this change the reality of the article? No, it's still an Arabic Quran. Even if sundus or istabraq, even if we say these words in the Quran, we said the correct view is that these words were Arabicized before the revelation of the Quran, so there's no problem. But even if someone came up with a discussion tomorrow and said sundus wa istabraq, and all these words were non-Arabic words, when the Quran was revealed, we say it doesn't matter. These are minimal words in the Quran. It doesn't affect the Arabic nature of the Quran. Is this clear? Tayyib, let's have a break. But that break is in a class discussion. How's that? Tayyib, class discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the Quran is an Arabic Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all of mankind, not just to the Arabs. Right? You go to university tomorrow and you are asked this question that you say Islam wasn't for Banu Israel, meaning like Banu Israel, the prophets were sent to them. Islam, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to everybody. But the Quran, Allah says, is an Arabic Quran. How do we respond to this? We need the microphones roaming now, please. Tayyib, who's going to participate? I want somebody who... Tayyib, uncle here, in the middle. Tafaddal. But keep your discussion short and sweet. Don't give me a story because we're discussing a story. If you give me your story, we won't finish this story. Short and sweet. Tayyib, okay. Uncle is saying that we respond to this particular discussion by saying, but even the Bible was in Aramaic and then translated into other languages. Right? Is this a good response? Yes or no? Who doesn't agree with uncle's response? Who doesn't agree? Tayyib, is there a microphone for the sisters? Because I can only see hands, but this light obviously blocks the view. And mashallah, they are far back, alhamdulillah. And this is good. This is good. MashaAllah, it's good to have Islamic environments practiced in Islamic worship. This is the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So jazakumullahu khairan to our brothers here at Kalima for implementing sunan. Jazakumullahu khairan. Okay. Whilst this is happening, so that we don't waste time, who doesn't agree with uncle here, uncle's discussion here? So our brother says that, no, this is not a good response because that deals with the Torah, doesn't deal with the Quran. Is it what you said? Why was it a problem with those books? Where's the problem? We've established that the Quran is an Arabic Quran. And we know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not only sent to the Arabs, he was sent as a mercy to mankind. So how do we reconcile between the Quran being an Arabic Quran, but the message of Islam being a universal message? What we've heard thus far doesn't deal with what we're talking about. Uncle said, we respond to that saying, it doesn't matter if it's an Arabic Quran, the other books were in their own languages as well. But how do we respond to that? We've said this is not a good response. Tayyip, over there. Bismillah. So we say there's no universal language. Except sign language, mashallah. Mashallah. So there's no universal language, so it had to be. Give me a stronger discussion here that proves that the message is universal. The message is universal. And how do you respond to uncle? Uncle said we say that those books were revealed. So you agree with uncle's response. Do you agree with it? How do we respond to uncle? Before we deal with our thing, uncle said, we respond by saying that those books were revealed in Aramaic, for example. But how do we respond to that particular debate each other? Debate each other. How do we respond to that view? Like, bring the microphone here. Over here. How do we respond to that view? The Arabic language has been preserved till now, so this is the sign that it's universal. Is this your response to uncle? This is a response to what, Akhil Karim? What are you responding to? Is this a new discussion? Oh, this is why it's universal. So, all right. How do you respond? Do you agree with uncle's response? Uncle said, we respond by saying, it doesn't matter if the Quran was revealed in Arabic, other books were revealed in Aramaic. Is this a good response? Do you agree? You don't agree. How do you respond to him? In light of our discussion. You don't agree that this is a good response because this the missionary can refute this argument. Or he can refute this argument. What can the missionary say to uncle when uncle says, your books was revealed in Aramaic, right? He can be refuted. How can he be refuted? The missionary will say, yes, because they were sent to Banu Israel. And this is what we're telling you. Islam was sent to the Arabs. That's why it was in. So you've defeated yourself. This is not a good discussion. This is not a good discussion. So how can we respond? What is the most appropriate response? Looking at the way Islam was presented, that can respond to this message that Islam is truly a universal religion even though it came down in the Arabic language. Yeah, our sister said there's no universal language, so this cannot be used as an argument. Perhaps. But it hasn't proven that it's a universal religion. Something we all should know from the seerah. We should put up our hand before we speak. We must put up our hand before we speak so that that's a form of justice to those who also have the answers but haven't spoken. Okay? Do we agree? Salman, do you agree with that? You didn't follow. The brothers want a summarized version of what you said because they didn't pick up what you said. We've established it's an Arabic Quran. Yes. 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 How does this prove that Islam is a universal religion? Does it? Okay. Tayyib. For the purposes of time, mashallah, there's so many hands up. Tayyib, bismillah. If I don't pick you, it's not because I don't like you. I like all of you. Tayyib, really. But, sometimes I think Like I know, one of the uncles here, he kept me very busy during the fiqh of finance course. So he's done his quota of asking questions. No, mashallah, uncle. Because we highlighted uncle, let's give him a chance to speak. Go ahead, uncle. Uncle here. Here, in the fourth row. Yes. Surah Fussilat, at least give us the translation, ya. Surah Fussilat has many ayat. وَلَوْ جَعَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا أَعْجَمِيًّا لَقَالُوا لَوْلَا فُصِّلَتْ آيَاتُهُ أَهَعْجَمِيُّ وَعَرَبِيُّ. نعم. Hey, brothers, you're not answering the question. This does not answer the question. The question is Islam a universal religion or not? The Quran is in the Arabic language. You are visited by a non-Muslim. And they tell you, how can you say Islam is a universal religion? The teachings of Islam is in the Arabic language. Allah has said, we've revealed it to you an Arabic Quran so you can understand. We don't speak Arabic. How can Islam be a universal religion? This is the question. Is this clear? Tayyip, let me give you the response. It's very simple. The response is by looking at the da'wah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Didn't he come with the message? He did. How did he present the message? Did he not write letters to kings of other nations? Did he not? So if you accept that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with an Arabic Quran, you have to accept that he also gave the da'wah to Habasha, to the other regions which were non-Arab regions. Da'wah went to them to accept the message of Islam. When the Sahabi went to Rustam, what did he say? When he was asked, why have you come? What did he say? لِنُخْرِجَ الْعِبَادِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. Wasn't this da'wah being sent to different regions and different nations? This is how we respond. That in practice, the manner of the da'wah was that it was spread to people outside of the Arabian Peninsula. And this wasn't the case with the prophets of Banu Israel. This is how we refute the discussion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. That's what you all wanted to say, isn't it? Yes. Subhanallah. Next time, inshallah, I'll pick you, inshallah. All right, so we've discussed لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says so that you can understand. So we've completed how many ayat of Surah Yusuf? Two. Subhanallah. All this time and only two ayat. Taib, I think the brothers, where's Brother Salman? Is it time for a break, Akhil Kareem? Sorry? Oh, half an hour after now. What time is Salatul Jumu'ah? What time is the khutbah? 12:15. Adhan is at 12:20. The scholars have differed upon three views.